The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Here's the Matt Slick Live. Today's date is, February 10th, 2025. For those who are listening on podcasts and want to know when and how and all that kind of stuff that was originally aired. So if you want to give me a call, please do. The number is 877-207-2276. You can do that, and I'd like to hear from you. So I watched a little bit of the Super Bowl yesterday. I'm not a sports guy, and so my wife and I watched it, kind of, if you want to call it that. What I actually did was... I had it on. I was on my phone, and then when the commercials would come on, I did the commercial. I watched the commercials. That's what I do. And it was tough. And but you know, that's okay. That's all right. So I'm going to do a couple of adjustments here. That should be right there, and then this right here. Hold on one sec. There we go. That should be working. That should be working. Everything should be working right now. All right. So it was interesting. It wasn't a blowout and stuff like that. But at the halftime, who was that guy? Who was that guy? I said, my wife. Have you ever heard of him? She says, no, she's never heard of him. And I said, well, who was he? And she didn't know who he was either. So I thought it was, I'm going to just say this and step on people's toes. I thought it was horrible. I said, like, what? He did four songs or did he just do one? Because it all sounded the same to me. Maybe I'm just too old, you know. But anyway, there you go. Hey. Maybe you can call, you can tell me how wrong I am about stuff, which is fine. I'm one of those weird guys who doesn't watch sports. It just bores me. It just does. I got things to do. I'd rather be, you know, it's going to sound odd. You know what I'd rather be doing? Working on a priesthood analysis of the Old and New Testament as it relates to Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism. Now, to me, that is a good time. That, to me, is like, yeah, you know? So if someone said to me, hey, Matt, you want to go to the Super Bowl? Okay. Hey, Matt, would you like to, you know, do an analysis on the priesthood systems of the Roman Catholic versus Eastern Orthodox related to the Old Testament priesthood stuff under the Old Covenant and see if it's in the New Testament? I'd go, whoa, now we're talking. Yeah, so, I got issues. I admit, I got issues. That's what I'm like. And so I did have some interesting discussions this weekend. I was on Discord. And I think it was Friday night. Friday night. And we had a really good discussion. I was on for 4 hours talking to some guys about, let's see, how we talked to this. We talked about Eastern Orthodoxy, Roman Catholicism. We talked about Mary. We talked about salvation. It was a great discussion. They were polite. I was polite. It just went well. And we had a good time. And they weren't offended, and we made jokes, and things were fine, and we had a good time talking. And then towards the end, this guy comes in, and man, he just came in swinging. And within 5 minutes, I just left because he was accusatory and interruptive. Just, it was bad. And we couldn't have a good conversation, so that's what that was about. But it was really good because I try to get these Catholics to think. And this is something I'm thinking about more and more. Is this issue of a brainwashing? Because I think, who cares? I think the Catholics and Eastern Orthodox are brainwashed. I think they have a cult mind. I do, because they just believe lies. They don't believe the truth. They don't believe what God's Word actually says. They believe what the Church tells them to think. I told these guys that. And that's what I think is going on in Catholicism and Roman and Eastern Orthodoxy. I just think that they're brainwashed, just like the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, that people just don't really want to believe God's word. They believe what the church tells them the word of God says. And so when I show them stuff, like for example, I showed them exactly the quotes and stuff like this from different groups, you know, like the Catholics, and how they say you attain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. What does that mean? It means that's how you attain it. And I show them exactly in the scripture that contradicts that. You know what they do? They don't care. And they just care about their church, because their church is the one true church. I get so tired of that kind of stuff. You know, it's why are people so blind? And I was saying to them, maybe it's because God hasn't given you the ears to hear and the eyes to see. You know, I was being very polite when I said this to them. I said, but that's my perspective, because when I show you what the Word of God says, and it's very clear, it's right there. I'm showing it to you. There's what it says. You know, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And so they just don't care. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. It's what happens. Anyway, so if you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. Let's get to Jermaine from California. Jermaine, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Matt.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good today.
Okay. Well, good. Good, man. Good. So what's up? What do you got?
Well, I want to discuss 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in particular verses 9 through 11. And that's, I think most people know that one. Paul's laying out. I see a lot of people use that as, I see them use it different ways. Sometimes they use it as a form of showing God's grace. But then I've seen some others use it as a way to say that, hey, people are still practicing these lifestyles and they're still saved by grace. But
no.
I do know Christians who've been on both sides. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just reacting. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, okay, so is there a difference in doing the act one time or habitually practicing? I know people who have fallen and then they've repented, and some people struggle and remove themselves from situations so they have no temptation, but there are some who just habitually practice those particular things they know to be sin and they know what God says. So maybe I can get a breakdown of that from you.
Sure. I always tell people, you know, the first thing you want to do when you look at something like this is read the context of what's going on. And you talk about 9 through 11, but in verse 7, let's just back up a little bit. Actually, then, it is already a defeat for you. It's about lawsuits, that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud, you do this even to your brethren. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. So he's drawing a contrast between those of the world and those of Christ, those who practice and live in those things and those who don't. Now, in the Corinthian church, we don't know, he doesn't know exactly which individuals are saved or not saved. And in fact, I was just in Corinth just about 3 months ago. And so I love being able to say that, you know, that I can visualize it. And the area was kind of, you know, it was a few acres big. And I'm sure the area around there was much bigger. And so there's going to be a lot of people in that Corinth church, Corinthian church. And the Corinthian area was known for paganism and some other bad stuff. So there's a mixture of good and bad in the church. And he's just writing a letter in such a way that those who are hearing it are going to react to it. If they are justified, they're washed, sanctified, etc., well, they don't have to worry. But those who practice the ungodly stuff, those are the ones who've got to worry. It's not because they're true Christians, but because they who practice those things, they're not true believers. So, you know, 1 John 2:4, if you say you know him and do not keep his commandments, the truth is not in you and you're a liar. So you can say one thing, and as James 2:14-26 says, that true faith brings out true fruit. It's not the fruit that saves you, but you will be known by how you are. And that's what he's talking about here with the Corinthians as well. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I think it helps a lot. But would you say there's a distinct difference between someone who's made, maybe they backslid or they slipped up and they're trying, versus the person who has a mindset of, I'm not going to stop because I like what I'm doing and I'm saved by grace, so I'm going to fornicate in whatever way.
Yeah, it's called the free grace movement, and that's sinful. And so I've talked to many people. A lot of people have confided in me a lot of things and over the years. When I see someone caught in sin, but they are struggling against it, they don't want it, that's a sign of life in them. And so we talk about repentance. We talk about ways to ensure repentance. That's different than those who don't care. It's different than those who just, they just do this and they're just not convicted. That's an evidence that the Holy Spirit is not in them. And so, just like you said, you know, they're not really saved. Okay? Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Yeah, I like it when you call, Jermaine. You're a good guy.
And you know, I want to tackle the Catholic question,
sure,
of why some of them do what they do another time. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I actually grew up going to Catholic school in the early part of my upbringing. I've been to the Vatican, so I have a little bit of an insight as to what I think, but I'm going to share that
go ahead,
on us. Another call.
There's a guy named Bill. I know who it is. He's calling, and I always insult him. He loves it when I insult him, so he can just take a back seat here and wait till after the break. I know he's smiling when he hears this. He's a good guy, though. But so go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, so I actually, the first part of my life, I grew up going to Catholic school, and it was more, my parents were not Catholics, but I went to Catholic school because I was in an inner city environment, and it was a very harsh environment, and that was the best school around, and you just had to pay for it, and education was top-notch. However, there was a lot of indoctrination and fear, and they kind of got their hooks in very early when you're young, and it's hard to shake some of the, I guess what you call brainwashing, which, like any group that has very strong beliefs. So a lot of it is, from what I've seen, a lot of people genuinely want to do the right thing and they want to serve God, but they're ignorant of the proper way to serve God because we were never taught to actually read our Bibles through for ourselves. We were only taught to listen to what we were told to by our superiors, who were the nuns and the priest and everyone else in between. And back in those days, it was corporal punishment. So you can't get away with that now, but you also have teachers and nuns who would take a stick and give you a good backside beating to correct you. So you now I do agree, you know, maybe we need a little more of that in our society with some kids, but after going through all of that, it's just like layers and layers of conditioning to where the morality is literally beaten into you and you're literally indoctrinated to the point where it's very hard to shake. And once you actually read a Bible to see what God has to say to you from him in his letter to you, it becomes a shell shock. And it's just hard to shake that because now you have a cultural impact, you have a family impact, and you have a spiritual confusion that's been placed inside of you. So that's why a lot of people tend to have an issue and they get defensive automatically because that's what they've grown up on and that's their lifestyle.
That's right. In fact, statistically, it takes about 2 years for the average cultist to come out of a cult. And the same thing with the Catholics and Eastern Orthodox. It takes them a long time to undo that damage and brainwashing. And then years after that to fine-tune all the issues there and get them right. Hey, buddy, we got to go. There's a break. Okay, man? Call back again anytime, buddy. All right, Jermaine.
Sure will.
Awesome. Okay, buddy. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. You can also give me an email, or send me an email, I should say, Just send an email to info@carm.org, info@carm.org, and put in the subject line radio comment, radio questions, and we can get to the stuff that you got. All right. Let's get on the air with, hold on, get my mouse to the right place, Bill. Hey, Bill. Hey, buddy. Welcome. You're on, buddy.
Hey, Matt. I just have two questions with that. First one is, can you talk about when Jesus on the cross, that God turned his back on Jesus, what my pastor said yesterday. Can you touch on that? And then the second one
okay,
is...
let's do that one. Let's do it at a time. Let's do that. When someone says God turned his back on Jesus, that's not something that he should say, because we don't know what really happened. He could say there are theories about it. And what does it mean for God to turn his back on Jesus? Does it mean he abandoned him? If that's what he wants to say, well, then certainly a possibility. But you can't say that is what happened. He was quoting Psalm 22, verse 1, written 1000 B.C., describing the crucifixion as prophesied in that psalm. So we can say, though, that Jesus, in Luke 22:42, had not wanted to go through the crucifixion. He asked the Lord that he would not go through the crucifixion, and yet that request was not granted. So in that human sense, why have you forsaken me? I didn't want to go through this, but he's going through it. That could be related to that, and I say that's probably what it is. So to say that God abandoned him is weak theology. Sorry, but it is. And shouldn't be stated as a fact, but as a possible explanation. But then it needs to be clarified when he says it. Okay?
Okay. No, that helps with that, because that's all he said, and he left it at that. And then the second question, can you talk about Hillsong? Because my church is, they're pretty defiant about it, where there's a few of us that are warned, hey, that's a bad idea. Their stance is they're going to do it because they can.
Yeah, Hillsong has lots of problems. And there's been financial issues, leadership scandals. And though a lot of the music is beautiful, and it is, a lot of it is, there is a bad theological perspective woven into a lot of the songs. And so you don't hear much, let's put this, I'm going to be very generic, you don't hear much about repentance, sins, and things like that in the songs. You don't hear much about the greatness and holiness of God as much as needs to be. Now, I believe it was Hillsong in Australia that did a cabaret show for Christmas. Had women in short skirts, the kind of cabaret they did in the 30s, whatever it was, in fishnet stockings, doing inline dancing, kicking their legs up for Christmas. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, they were doing that. And so there's bad stuff. There is a song that, let's see if I can find it really quickly, that I have a list of praise songs in my my online music thing I do, and one of them here's let's see make sure I get this right, because it's the second one. I might have gotten rid of it. I don't know. Now I got to find it. But anyway, one of the lyrics says, talking about God, says I give you permission to whatever. I'm like, you don't give God permission for anything. The idiocy, this kind of theology is bad. Musicians, what they need to do, Christian musicians, they need to submit their lyrics to theologians that they can trust. The theologians can go through and then say, yeah, this is good, this is not good, as far as what is being taught. There's nothing wrong with that. They put it this way, because we've known each other for a few years, and I know my theology. And I know better than the average bear. And so I've realized over the years that a lot of people just don't know their Bible very well and don't know the theological perspective that they should. And so they make all kinds of mistakes. Now, if I were suddenly the pastor at that church, the first thing I would do, one of the first things, is tell everybody in the worship team, you don't play these songs anymore. And if you don't like it, we can talk, but they're done, because we're not going to have a group that has problems and heresies taught in it be a means of worshiping God. It'd be like, why don't we get a Mormon hymn and sing a Mormon hymn? Because it has good words or good whatever, good tune. We wouldn't do that in a Christian church. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't go to that church. You know, and I know we know which church that is. Okay?
Yep. No, right. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that.
Okay. Hey, one more thing. I don't know if my wife's contacted you, but we're going out to a movie tomorrow night. You're invited to go.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. It's because her birthday's coming up. So it's one of those things. And I'll probably come pick you up and stuff like that. We'll go. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Matt.
All right, Bill. God bless, buddy.
All right.
All right. That's Bill. And he's, you know, he lives just 20 minutes from me and stuff like that. We go do things together. He's a good guy. I hope he didn't hear me say that over the air. Man, dang it. You know, things slip out. At any rate. So, but he is a good guy. All right, let's get on the air with Tommy from North Carolina. Tommy, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, Matt? I got the quick question is, what do you think about a preacher that maybe won't say hail or read the Revelations book and something?
So say the word hell as in he's going through the scriptures and won't repeat the word when it talks about it? Or what?
Yeah, the other day, like, he mentioned that place. It's been other times, too. He won't say hail. I don't know if he's going to scare the congregation or what's going on. I was just curious, what do you think about that? I like the preacher, but, you know.
Go ask him.
He don't want to see preach on it. And doing on Wednesdays, they had one of the other preachers, they went through the book of Revelations. But since I've been going there about 2 years or so, he mentioned quotes about, you know, Revelations a few times and other passages that relate to Revelations, but I'd just like him to talk about the Revelation book, things to come and everything.
Well,
and I ain't heard it yet. I don't get to go every Sunday now.
Well, it could be that he said stuff that you haven't heard, but I would just ask him. It's just simple, and, you know, generally speaking, if a pastor refuses to say the word hell or doesn't want to offend anybody, as I saw a video I wanted to comment on, I lost a video, I was going to do a commentary, where a preacher says, don't use the word Jesus, it might offend the Muslims or something like that. I'm like, you know, what a heretic. But if a particular preacher doesn't want to say the word hell or doesn't want to preach on damnation, that would be a problem. Because he's supposed to preach the fullness.
It's just my gut feeling about it.
Yeah, I would just go ask him. Because it's possible that he has, you just haven't been there, and it might be another reason, and just go ask.
Okay? Yeah, the reason he told me a while back about it, I mentioned about that.
Oh, we got a break. Hold on, man.
You know, he prays all the time.
Okay. Give it a break. Sorry, so hold on, man. We'll be right back, okay? All right. Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. Tommy, you're on the air.
Yeah, Matt. And he mentioned, you know, he's like all other prayers. He said pray all the time and stuff. And I think he said whatever the Lord leads him to preach on Sundays.
So yeah.
That's what I'm getting at about that, which ain't nothing wrong with that by no means, you know. I just like to hear, you know, a preacher talk about Revelations and stuff, you know.
Well, ask them.
And they won't go there and won't say Hail or Hades.
Well, ask them about those things. Just find out. I would just make a...
Yeah, well, I have, but he really ain't giving no really good answer, though. Except, you know,
have
like
you
I said,
him?
You know.
Have I you have. Asked him, though? You have?
I have.
Oh, and what did he say?
He mentions, you know, other parts that the Bible refers back to the Revelation, which is true in there. But as far as him preaching on it, like he does other things he preach on from time, you know. But I just like to hear a preacher preach about hell. You know, a lot of preachers preach about hell, you know, from time to time during a year or something. And I don't get to go every Sunday now because I'm over the road.
Okay.
I'm a truck driver.
Yes. You know, okay. So,
baby, yeah, I think preach is good and everything. It's just that I'm a little, you know, I'm only human. I guess it's my instinct. I just like to hear him, you know, say that. And he won't say hell. I don't get it. You know, I thought a preacher supposed to preach the whole Bible.
He is.
So,
let's preach the whole Bible and not skip things. Right. And not be, yeah,
right.
Not be picky choosy. Yeah, that's right. So he would need to, you need to talk to him about that, maybe the elders, and say, you know, what's going on? Why doesn't he preach out of these topics and these issues? That's what I would do. Okay.
That's what I say right quick, you know, about the other guy, preacher, that he done it on Wednesdays, you know, the whole, you know, revelation. But I'm thinking, well, all people don't go on Wednesday night, you know, Sunday, you know, why can't, you know, he lead on it some, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I get you. But talk to the pastor about it and, you know, ask
right.
more.
Yeah, but I probably get the same answer.
Well.
Yeah.
Then,
if it's a church. It's a.
Maybe.
It's a Baptist church.
Okay. Well, maybe you have to, maybe you don't, but you know, it's always good to talk to the elders and talk to other people to see what they say, make sure you get the
right
understanding of things. But
okay. Right. Well, thank you, Brother Matt.
All right.
Well, yeah, God bless you. Thank you, sir. All right, later. Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, we have wide open lines. If you want, you can give me a call. The number is 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. You can also send me an email, and that's easy to do. Just direct it to info at carm.org, I-N-F-O, of course, info at carm, C-A-R-M dot O-R-G, and just send it there. And also, put the subject line, radio comment, radio question. I'm thinking here of what to talk about because we don't have any callers, and I can get to emails. We've got plenty of those. But I've been doing some studying, and I like to do this every now and then. When I learn something new, or I'm focusing on something and doing a study, I like to share it on the radio. It's kind of like a mini semi-teaching thing, or hey, look what I've been learning out of the scriptures. And, you know, I guess I've never heard any other radio guy or girl do that, where they say, look, I'm learning something. I'm reading the Word, I'm studying it, and I'm picking things up. I don't know. I'm the only one. Maybe it's because I don't care. Hey, I'm learning stuff. Let me share it with you. But so you may know, I do a lot of discussions with Catholics and Eastern Orthodox. And there's twofold reasons. I want them to hear the true gospel, come out of their false religion, and be saved. That's the primary reason. And the other one is to be able to learn things and refine arguments, refine understanding of Scripture and various things, in order to teach it on the radio, in articles and videos and various things like that. Well, one of the things that I had been saying for a while that I think is interesting is both the Roman Catholics, RC, and Eastern Orthodox, EO. Both the RC and EO have a false gospel, teach a false priesthood, and have a false Mary. Now, I've talked about Mary, I've talked about their gospel, and so I have been doing studies on priesthood. And what I've done is gone through the Old Testament, and I looked at priesthood stuff. I did some today. I've looked at every single instance of the word priest, priestly, priesthood, etc., in the New Testament. I found the Greek, and went and looked at the Greek words. And then what I can do in my Bible program is I can put that Greek word number from the Strong's Concordance, and I can find every single place in the Greek New Testament where it appears, and I go look at it in the English. It's easy to do. And so I've done that, all right? And then what I do is I will take that stuff, I'll export it to Excel, you know, Microsoft Excel, because I'm really good at Excel. I used to teach it, did some advanced stuff with it. I think Excel is just a tremendous program, I really do. And so I can do some tricks in there and do some stuff. And then I do those tricks, and then I take the Excel thing, and then I put it into a filter. Then from the filter, I convert it to HTML. I do all this stuff, right? I do all these things. And I like doing that kind of stuff because I'm a nerd. And then what I do, once it's all set, then I'm ready to analyze each verse. So I have it in a table that I'm going to publish, and I add a column to the right of all these verses. Every verse that might have the appearance of priest, priestly, priesthood, etc. And I did every single one of the New Testament, and then I go through one by one in the order that they are, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of it. And I go through and I study. And I found some things out. I let the scriptures determine what context it is and what the topic is. And so each time a new context or a new topic comes up, I add a new column and put that in there and put an X, you know, or put the words in there. This is what it's about. All right, so this is what I did. I did this kind of thing. And the biblical priesthood relevant to the Christian today is the Melchizedek priesthood of Jesus and the priesthood of all believers. So that's the priesthood, or the priesthoods relevant to the Christians today. There is no New Testament support for the priesthood office after the style of the Catholics and the Orthodox. It's just not there. So after studying these words, studying how how God uses them through the prophets, etc., and the apostles, after studying the word priest, priestly, and priesthood in the Greek, I found five categories. One, the Jewish chief priest is mentioned. Now you understand, there's a little theologically important, significant thing here, divider. I'm going to explain it to you. The Old Testament covenant is not the same as the New Testament covenant. There's similarities, but they're not the same. An important theological point is that at the death of Christ, Hebrews 8:13, Hebrews 9:15, and 16, that if you read those verses, you'll find out that the new covenant is instituted or ratified with Jesus' death. So up to that point, they're under the Old Testament system. But when Jesus died, now it's the ratification of the new covenant. That's what it says in Hebrews 9:15 through 16. There must be the death of the testator with that covenant. And so when Jesus died, boom, we're in the new covenant era. All right. So when it talks about the Jewish chief priest, that's the Old Testament style. So it mentions a Jewish chief priest, as chief priest. It also mentions the second category, the Jewish priestly office. That's still Old Covenant. The Jewish priestly service is also mentioned. And then there's priesthood and priest. So these are the main categories that I found. So we can exclude the Jewish chief priesthood and the Jewish priestly office, as well as the Jewish priestly service, okay? Because they're not Christian offices, and they were in place before the death of Christ, which, like I said, began the new covenant. So in the New Testament, what's left over is the priesthood of Jesus, the Melchizedek priesthood. There is no priesthood of people except what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:5 through 9, we are all priests. He says this. Let me go to those verses. 1 Peter 2:5 and 9. I'm going to read these to you. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. So also as living stones are you are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. In verse 9, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Those are the priesthoods that apply in the New Testament, the one of Christ and us as a general priesthood as believers. The Roman Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox priesthoods that they have are not in the New Testament. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the last segment of the hour. Hope you're enjoying this. I'm talking about priesthood. And, you know, I need to know. Do you like it when I just kind of start teaching some stuff? I get on the air and go through some things and explain stuff. I want to know. I need some feedback because I don't get feedback a lot, you know, because you're on the radio. And when I'm done with the radio, I just go clean up the house, wash dishes, cook food, you know, just go do my stuff. So maybe you could tell me. Maybe you could email me and say, yeah, we'd love it when you do that. Or, no, it's a waste of time. Or whatever it is. Or you can call in and say, yeah, it's really good. Or, whatever you want to do. I just want to get some feedback. I would like that. So here's the thing. There is no New Testament priesthood, that does what the Catholic priesthood does, or the Eastern Orthodox one. Instead, the priesthood in the Bible that works like the Roman Catholic priesthood is in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant. The Old Testament priests offered repeated sacrifices. That's Leviticus 1 through 7. They gave blessings. That's what the Catholic priests do. They give you these blessings. And the Old Testament priests did that. Number 6, 22 through 27. They taught people how to become clean after sinning. Leviticus 10, 10 through 11 talks about this. This is what the Catholic priests do. Okay, and the priest had to remain ceremonially clean before offering sacrifices. So they have to often go to their own confessions and confess their sins one to another, and the other priests be absolved, and then go do their stuff. Okay, and also get this: the Old Testament priests were instructed to wear special garments. And when I visited Catholic churches, they wear special garments. It's just the Old Testament priesthood. Is what it is. So the Catholic system of the Mass is a continual reoffering of the sacrifice of Christ that then cleanses you from sin. It continually or repeatedly, because repeatedly is different than continuous. It repeatedly cleanses you from sin, the same as the old priest offerings that were not able to permanently forgive all of your sins. Okay, that's Hebrews 9:9 talks about that. Instead, the Roman Catholic priest can only help the Catholic with sins committed up to that point. For any future sins, the Catholic has to return again and again for more sacrifices offered in the Eucharist. Okay, that's the Roman Catholic priesthood system, which is mirrored after the Old Testament style. Now, not everything in the Old Testament style the Catholic priests are doing, but obviously none of this is in the New Testament. And to me, this is a very interesting point, and it's very critical, because to me, I'm just going to say this very bluntly, it flat out exposes the Roman Catholic Church for the apostate, false church that it really is. It does not have the true priesthood of the New Testament. It puts people back under the law and keeps control of them. This is how they have to come to salvation. You have to go to the priest on a weekly basis to get those sins from that week forgiven again and again and again. You got to go back to the Eucharistic offerings over and over and over your whole life. I've talked to Catholics, and I did this weekend. I said to a Catholic, and it was very polite, you know, and I was. And I said, look, let me ask you a question here. I said, are all of your sins forgiven right this second? And he said, well, he doesn't know. I said, okay, so you don't know. Why is it you don't know? And this is a pretty typical conversation. I said, well, why do you not know? And he said, well, it's because I haven't been to confession and taken the Eucharist. And so I may have committed some sins, and you know, I don't know if they're really forgiven. With bondage. It's bondage. And I said, well, by contrast, I said, all of my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And then we got into the issue of the now and the not yet. I won't get into that right now, but I said, everything I've done in the future was future to Christ on that cross, and he bore all of my sin in his body. And this is how, it's another thing I do with the Catholics, I say, this is how I know that I have eternal life. Because to a lot of times, the Catholics and Eastern Orthodox, when you say you know you have eternal life, they think you're prideful. They think you're prideful. They think you're arrogant. And it's because to them and their mindset, you achieve salvation through your continued faithfulness to the ordinances of the laws and ordinances of the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, laws and ordinances. The same thing the Mormons say, that you are saved through the laws and ordinances of the Mormon Church. Well, to them, you have to go do the Eucharist. You got to be going there for the priesthood power that they have in their church and on a repeated basis so that your sins can be forgiven. This is what they teach. And I say, well, that's how come you don't know if your sins are all forgiven? I said, where would you go if you were to die right now? Let's say a meteor comes out of the sky, boom, vaporizes you, you're gone. I said, and I don't want that to happen. And I tell them that. I don't want that to happen to you. I said, I'm just saying, where would you go? Well, I hope I would go to heaven. Or I would go to purgatory. Purgatory. Okay, so in purgatory for a while then, right? Yeah. Then you're, made worthy to go be with God through your sufferings? And, I try and be very delicate because I can really, I can be a bull in a china shop. I don't want to do that. It doesn't do anybody any good. But I try and ask them questions. Try and get them to think. And they just don't. They don't get it. They don't seem to realize because I believe their eyes are blinded and their ears are deafened by the false church of Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses, that they believe they're in the truth because their church is what is true and authority is in their church. It's not found in Jesus. It's what the church says about everything. That's where authority is, and so they replace Jesus functionally with the church, and by doing that, then salvation is found in membership and compliance with the laws and ordinances of that church, and that means they can't ever know that all their sins are forgiven, and these are, this is just, it's demonic, it's demonic doctrine, it's false doctrine, because it's not scripture. And if it's not from God, it comes from the devil. And he has deceived so many people. He has. Let's get to Elizabeth from Virginia. Elizabeth, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I mostly just want... Oh, I'm good, thank you. I kind of wanted to make a comment about when you were talking about the Super Bowl and the halftime show. And... I have to say, I was not familiar with that singer. However, I was familiar with one of his songs, and which he did sing. And I'll just say, it wouldn't hurt to look into this song. It's called They're Not Like Us. This song, he goes into detail. It's about pedophilia in the music industry. And he calls out, I don't even know who this guy is, but he calls out a particular rapper, I believe he is, or singer. Anyways, and I just thought that was quite amazing that he sang that on that stage and none of it got cut out. And I'll make one other comment about him. And again, I'm not much of a sports fan. I'm not much of a Super Bowl fan. But I can't tell you how many Super Bowls in the past, literally, the halftime show was nothing short of demonic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did not see anything that looked demonic in that show. And if you noticed, they were all in red, white, and blue. He was in red, white, and blue. I mean, so to me, this was a big switch in the Super Bowl in that, and the players that are, professing, their love for Jesus Christ. I find this to be extremely refreshing and uplifting. And like me, there's a change. There's some, things are happening, I believe. Anyway, so I just say, Look into that song. They're not like us.
I'm looking at it now.
And
I'm looking at the lyrics right now.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Right.
I couldn't understand anything what he was saying. It's going so fast, I couldn't understand
it. No, I couldn't either. And I'd heard about that song, and with that, you know. Anyway, so I was quite interested that he was going to be, you know, he was the chosen singer, you know, for the halftime show. I was like, you know, I was quite interested. You know, I was like, I think I'll watch it just for that reason.
Let me go over some of the lyrics, because I'm looking at it, and a lot of it I can't repeat. Yeah. But it says...
Right,
says
exactly. No, it...
Yeah, let me go over some of them.
Yeah.
It says, I see dead people, and then he says, an N-word nail went to the cross. And then he mentions the Bible in there, too. Beat your river and hide the Bible if God is watching. Sometimes you got to pop out and show and blah, 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 certified boogeyman. Anyway, interesting. And he calls out.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, he calls out a particular, you know, I don't even know the guy, you know, I won't say his, you know, whatever. But he calls him out and he says, you know, make sure you keep your little sister away from him. And then he goes on, you know, I did look at some of the lyrics. But it's quite...
I'm looking at them right now. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's Rabbit Hole is Deep. I Can Go Further, I Promise. Ain't That Something? Stands for Malibu Most Wanted. You know. So anyway,
I don't understand, if you want to say, some of the slang or the lingo.
Yeah, I can't
you
say
know
right,
but yeah. One other thing that I'll say specifically, and you know, about the show, he basically tells people, turn off your TV. You know, he's like, you know, quit watching your TV. And then at the end of his, there's another podcaster, I guess.
He follows through racism stuff, and he's got some bad stuff.
Yeah,
but anyway, go ahead.
You know, I mean, that some of that stuff I'm, you know, but at the end of the halftime show, it's all, and I don't even think I watched it. The halftime show all the way to the end, but at the very end, it's
got 30 seconds,
like dark. Okay, dark, and then all of a sudden it says game over, like as in game over for who? For the pedophile.
Yeah, I've looked at the lyrics. I'm not sure if I can interpret all. I'm not sure if I can interpret them accurately, because there's so much stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth interest. It's interesting. I just didn't think the music was that good. I'm not a rap guy.
I know. Anyways, when you were talking about that, I was like, I got to give you a call. Okay. And I know we're out of time, but
we are. There's the music.
You know, I'll say I have some.
We got to go because there's a music. Yeah. Okay, sorry, Elizabeth. We have to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God bless. Yeah, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, there's the end of the show. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back on there tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll talk to you then. Have a great evening, everyone. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.